time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's a three-pitch strikeout of Blow. A three-pitch strikeout of Duran. An immaculate inning. Nine-pitch, three-strikeout. Rarely happens in baseball. Luis Garcia, an immaculate inning and a fist pump. He did it.
That was incredible.
You've got to be kidding me. Two immaculate innings.
Two of them.
In one game. That has to be a new major league mark. That could not have ever happened before. Phil Maton is thrilled as he walks off the mound. Luis Garcia just got matched by Maton. Same three guys. Unreal.
Happens twice to the same three guys. That's unbelievable.
Now he's smiling. There we go. The normally stoic Phil Maton cracks a smile.
That is so great. Wow.
Sometimes you need skilled broadcasters to explain something to you. Because I had no idea that what the Houston Astros did yesterday is an incredibly historic performance with not one, but two immaculate innings in this same game. What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. I am Paul Gallant. It is Vanessa and Gallant right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Vanessa is up in Indianapolis. She's getting LASIK surgery, so her eyes are apparently dilated to the size of balloons, and I feel really bad for her. I kind of want to see what that looks like on Twitch, perhaps like Tony Montana making a trip to his, let's just say, secret stash in his personal office. But we're hoping that she's going to be better. She might be back tomorrow. We shall see. We do have Sean Mapes behind the glass. Sean, had you ever heard of an immaculate inning until yesterday?
I've heard of it, but it's something that I've seen tweeted about, like, hey, you know, the Dodgers just did this at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But I never really, if you would have asked me yesterday, during yesterday's show, what an immaculate inning it was, I don't think I got it right.
I would definitely have gotten that incorrect. 100%. Hand of God, on God, as the kids are saying, you know, but it was bussing what we saw yesterday. Look, the word immaculate, when I think of the word immaculate, I go back to being raised Catholic and I think about, you know, be someone without sin, which I clearly am not. But the definition of immaculate means spotlessly clean, like an immaculate kitchen, immaculate uniforms, having or containing no flaw or error, an immaculate record of service, for example, or an immaculate detail, having no stain or blemish, really like big into the idea of cleanliness, pure, an immaculate heart, having no colored spots or marks. Sounds racist. It's used in botany, though, and zoologists, which we all know, just two fields with lots of suspect people. Oh, no colored spots, no marks. Easy, Hitler. Anyway, I am surprised that a guy striking somebody out on nine pitches, three guys out on nine pitches, is something that has happened so few times in baseball history. But this is why it is immaculate. Oh, there's been 106 recorded immaculate innings in Major League history. Wednesday was the first time that there have been two on the same day. And the Astros did it. And I guess now they are tied with the Yankees and Dodgers, their two biggest rivals, for the most immaculate innings of all time. All three have nine apiece, which is surprising. So basically, a quarter of all immaculate innings have been done by the Astros, the Yankees, and the Dodgers. Should I be making a big deal about this? Did anyone get like, yeah, the immaculate inning? I've been dying to see this for my whole life. Because guess what? You probably haven't seen it in your whole life. This is what shocked me more than anything. And look, I'm no math expert, despite getting a 700 on the SAT portion. The math portion of my SAT. Sean Mapes shaking his head. Sorry, you jealous? You jelly about that math grade, bro.
I have no idea what I got on any standardized test.
Oh, I
did good enough. That's all I know.
See, me being a little cake-eating elitist who was very proud of the fact that he went to Syracuse University for college, I used to be like, yeah, I got a 1420 on my SAT. But Paul, wasn't it out of 2100 at that point in time? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Excuse me, 2,400. They added like an essay section, and then they got rid of it a couple of years later. Anyway, per Joe Doyle, a buddy of mine in Seattle, the odds of an immaculate inning are roughly 1 in 40,000. The odds of a perfect game are roughly 1 in 10,000, which is surprising to me. And he goes a little bit further. That makes the odds 2 immaculate innings in one game roughly 1 in 1.6 billion. There's only been 2.1, I guess, million innings in baseball history. Is that what he's saying? I don't know. Should I believe him? Maybe. Whatever the case, that is a ridiculous number. But I guess I'm just still not impressed as we have this immaculate music playing in the background. Should I be impressed?
Maybe by Luis Garcia, yes. Phil Maton, I'm a little suspect because it's the same three guys.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Those guys are just clowns.
Are those guys gambling on baseball?
Yeah.
Illegally?
Oh, they're point shaving.
Ooh. Or maybe they were gambling on the 1 in 1.6 billion chance that they could have two immaculate innings in one game. Those same three batters.
They just put a dollar on it each?
Yeah.
They just won $18 million?
Honestly, I feel like it would be a really inside job to pull off now that we know the odds, now that we know how ridiculous it is that this actually happened. It is a very cool thing. It's just one of many things in baseball that takes place, and I'm like, wait, oh, am I supposed to be excited about this? Because the funny thing was, both Luis Garcia and Phil Maton were like, what? We did? Oh. And I think Maton might have been a little bit more aware of it. As you heard on the broadcast, everyone was pretty excited about it as he got into the dugout. But I'm sure Luis Garcia had no idea that he had even thrown an immaculate inning early in the game. He got rid of the ball. They had to go track the ball back down. And they got it authenticated, and they put it back in his locker afterwards. But I thought this was something that was rather routine.
Rank who it's most impressive for. Luis Garcia, Phil Maton, Martin Maldonado.
Oh, Martin Maldonado, obviously. As the legend of Martin Maldonado grows. Look, I don't want to hate on Martin Maldonado, but it is really funny to hear how his defense gets so lauded and his ability to call a strike zone and a game for a pitcher gets so lauded. And then he gets a home run in this game to top it off. And I think didn't he have a double too? It was a really good game for Martin Maldonado, but this is just going to add to his legend. I mean, now he is the greatest catcher in baseball history, technically. Two immaculate innings. What's more impressive, catching a perfect game or catching two immaculate innings in the same game? And I'm not even joking here. Catching two immaculate innings in the same game, you're calling where those pitches are supposed to be located. You're calling what pitches are supposed to be thrown, although I guess Maton just threw fastballs the whole time. You're calling what pitches and the locations are. You are the greatest mind in baseball history if you're able to successfully call three strikeouts for your pitcher on three pitches in a row. Oh, it's impressive. But anyway, yes, this has been Talking Immaculate Innings on the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. 713-780-3776. Should I be more impressed? I know I sound sarcastic explaining it. I'm not. I'm just like, oh, this is a really historic thing. Classic baseball. Really historic thing happens, and you're like, wait, what? It did?
Really historic thing happens, and you need to get explained why it's historic. Until today, when you walked in, I had no idea that only 100 of them had ever, or 109 or whatever, had ever happened.
Right, I did too. And again, a credit to Todd Callis and Jeff Blum on the call there for realizing that they needed to be excited for the moment. And that's the only reason that I thought to myself, oh, this is rare, I guess.
Because to me, there's no difference between that and like, yeah, just a normal 1-2-3, struck out the side.
I thought it was just a struck out the side. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And look, Luis Garcia has been pitching very well this year. What is this now? Three times that he's reached his career high of 9 strikeouts this season. Like, it's really impressive to watch the way that he has been pitching. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Should I be more impressed? Are you impressed by immaculate innings? I got to a point where I've become unimpressed by no-hitters. I think it was because there was a couple of years ago.
Last year, there was like three before like June started.
Right. Yeah. And Sean, in that situation, you're thinking to yourself, okay, maybe the balls need a little bit more juice in them. Maybe baseball deadened the balls or whatever. But there also was a time a couple of years ago where Johan Santana, sorry, they get in my brain and scramble it up a little bit. But Johan Johan Santana. Johan Santana. He threw a no-hitter, and I think he had like 8 walks in it. And I remember thinking to myself, wait, does this count? This shouldn't count as a no-hitter. Why did they leave him in the game that long? So I got to a point where no-hitters stopped impressing me as much. Perfect games, okay, yeah, you have to be impressed by them. There's been so few of them. But honestly, based off of the numbers, we're supposed to be more impressed by an immaculate game. I'm more impressed by immaculate conceptions because, you know, I rock with the guy upstairs. Y'all meet. Yeah, thanks. Give me that. I'm one with the spirit. And the immaculate spirit was in both the hands of Philip Maton and Luis Garcia yesterday. Put some respect on their name. Amen. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant. ESPN 975-925. 713-780-3776. It's how you text in. It's how you call in, too. Were you taken aback by the two immaculate innings in one game? Up next, the Rockets did something that was very smart. And if you're upset about this move, I will talk you off the ledge. But you shouldn't be on the ledge at all. You'll hear why next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's getting the LASIK, so her eyes look like dinner plates right now. She's got a massive headache. So we hope she'll be back tomorrow. I am Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant. We do have Sean Mapes behind the glass. And if you want to weigh in, 713-780-3776. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.com/ESPN975. Schmagma 69. This may sound like a knock on Paul, but Paul solo shows give me a headache. It's like listening to 4 days worth of shows in one day. I don't disagree. I mean, it's just me talking. And that means that you get even more ADD. Like Sean now has the very difficult task of not only running the board and tossing to audio, but also trying to keep me on track. Because I need help. Like, that's Vanessa's fantastic at many things. But Vanessa keeping me from just going off on like a 15-minute tangent about why the Vikings have such an impact on English culture. Did you know that every single day of the week, by the way, is basically named after a Viking god? Thursday, Thor. Huh. Fun fact. You didn't know that. See, I could go all day unless someone brings me back in. So I understand it. Okay. Bear with me. This is the last second thing that we found out about. Some other texts. Calm your boobs, Paul, says Adrian. What happened yesterday is probably the equivalent of a quadruple double. Talking about an immaculate inning. Okay. I mean, fine. If you want to just besmirch the great Martin Maldonado like that. General catcher that he is. Hitting home runs, hitting doubles, calling two immaculate innings in the same game. Greatest catcher of all time. Yogi Berra. I can't think of any others off the top of my head. Oh, Johnny Bench.
Mike Piazza.
And Martin Maldonado. And guess what? Got to take Mike Piazza off that list because Mike Piazza, wasn't he like possibly doing the roids?
Never proven. Okay. There have been 4 official quadruple doubles in NBA history. So quadruple doubles in the NBA are so much more impressive.
Wow. How has Russell Westbrook not gotten a quadruple double by this point in time?
Because he doesn't play defense? Because you have to do it with steals or rebounds?
Well, yeah, you could do it. I mean,
points, rebounds, assists.
Blocked shots.
Blocks or steals.
Would be hard. Yeah. Steals are really the only one you probably could do it with.
And they don't count turnovers, so James Harden's never done it.
Because turnovers, he would be in. he definitely has had a quadruple double where he's
like
had 10
3 in the playoffs.
Yeah, my God. All right. Some other comments. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Todd the Show says, I don't know of any sites that you can bet on immaculate innings. They need to change that. I mean, it's so astronomical that it would happen. Like, why not? It's free money. Outside of the, 106 times it's happened?
You'd have to put a $2 limit on how much you're allowed to bet on it. Well, or else all the casinos would have gone bankrupt yesterday.
No way that they would give you, though, like 1 in 1.6 billion or whatever the hell Joe Doyle found. You know? Like, no way. But I mean, shoot, like 1 in 500? That doesn't hurt you that much, right? Or something even more astronomical than that?
Yeah, just like minus like 50,000.
Yeah. I mean, look, if it hits, it hits, but it's not going to hit for the most part. And they would probably have some other specific things so they can weasel their way out of it. Dicos Suave says, immaculate inning by the Astros. My life is complete. It was. I mean, we saw the World Series, but where was the immaculate inning? Where's the... Well, we have seen a perfect game. Does anyone else remember the perfect game that was thrown against the Astros when the Astros were real ass? Like, this was, like, I think it was the San Francisco Giants. I remember I went to a Twin Peaks with my uncle who was in town.
Was it Matt
Cain? Yeah, it was. Good call, Sean. That was Matt Cain. Like, that's, I remember that. And I remember just watching at the bar thinking to myself, like, man, I used to like baseball. The Astros are terrible. They'll never be good again. Thank God that changed. Anyway, all right. I told you in the break, and someone on Twitch is not thrilled about this. The guy who says that tennis isn't physical is about to tell us why the Christian Wood trade is good. Well, guys, Christian Wood's been a dead man. Christian Wood died earlier this year. At the very turn of the year, in a time where probably no one was paying attention to it, but Christian Wood, in a game between, what was it, the Houston Rockets and the Denver Nuggets, Christian Wood refused to sub into the second half. He was benched to start the game because he missed the mandatory COVID-19 testing window. Then John Lucas called out the entire team at halftime and focused on Christian Wood's effort level. At that point in time, Kevin Porter Jr. had a heated exchange with John Lucas and drove out of the arena. Wood, who was late to warm-ups, came off the bench after having started all of his previous 34 games that year. He played 8 minutes in the first half Saturday and went 0-for-4 from the field. He died that day. Any idea of a 26-year-old child doing something like that, any idea of that 26-year-old child becoming something that you want anywhere close to Jalen Green, died. That moment right there. The Rockets should have cut his ass. The Rockets should have traded his ass there. That they even accommodated him and Kevin Porter Jr. after that moment in time, to me, is still a major indictment on this new regime that we don't know a whole lot about. Whether it's Raphael Stone or it's Steven Silas, whatever the case, you look at that moment in time, that is a glaring indictment on where the Rockets are. And to me, until they get rid of both of those guys, I feel like you have toxic possible teammates for Jalen Green. Alperen Sengun, I like him here. Jalen Green had a great finish to the year. But how many times did you watch games and you see Kevin Porter Jr. randomly, aimlessly dribbling around thinking that he's Kobe Bryant? He's 22 years old, okay. I suppose that there's still some saving for him. But no. Guys like this need to be flushed down the toilet. And guess what happened yesterday? The Houston Rockets traded away Christian Wood, not Kevin Porter Jr. What did they get in exchange for him? Well, not a lot that's going to excite you. 26th pick in this year's draft. So you now have, as you take a look at what the Rockets have in totality for picks, you have the third pick, and we'll see who ends up going first and second, and if the Rockets get who they want. At this point in time, I'm hoping that it's going to be Pablo Banchero who falls to the Rockets, because I want to have like the best possible supporting cast around Jalen Green. I want guys who went to Duke. Coach K's annoying. Yeah, get it. Those guys are well coached. Those guys, I think, for the most part, outside of Kyrie Irving, maybe, come into the NBA acting like adults. What else do we have on the draft return? The third pick, the 17th pick, and the 26th pick. That's what the Rockets now have in this year's draft. Also in the trade, and this was broken by Shams Charania last night, they get Sterling Brown, who? Trey Burke, went to Michigan, I think. Marquez Chris. I feel like Marquez Chris used to be hyped by a lot of random online folks.
I believe former Rocket, Marquise Chris.
Marquise Chris. Well, he's coming home. He's coming home. Tell the world he's coming home. And the best part of all, Boban Marjanovic, star of John Wick 3. Also really big. Also in that commercial for State Farm with Trae Young and that WNBA player. Boban! I mean, that's kind of exciting, right? You get a novelty because he's abnormally large. Not a guy who really plays at all, but hey, I mean, in garbage time, you send in Boban and everyone gets excited. When the Celtics were terrible, they had Taco Fall. They would put Taco Fall in and everyone gets super excited about Taco Fall coming in because that guy's like 7'7". So what's wrong with that? It's kind of cool. But I saw a lot of people out there, Sean, who were sad about the fact that they traded away Christian Wood and this is all they got. He's 26 years old, and he quit in the middle of a game, and this is something that was the reason that the Rockets were able to acquire him in the first place. Who cares if he is averaging 19-9? Who cares if he has the ability to shoot from outside? Who cares if he is a power forward slash center and is rather positionless? The guy has a bad attitude. Do you want players with a bad attitude on the same team as Jalen Green? You shouldn't. If you care about Jalen Green's development, you're nuts. It is good that they got rid of him for anything. That they got anything for him is, I say, an upset. Would you want to trade for this guy? Again, he refused to go back into a game. It's not like driving away from the arena like Kevin Porter Jr., but he basically refused to go back into a game. What have you done in your career, Christian Wood, to make you believe that you can do that and get away with it? Other than playing for the Rockets, who were basically a bunch of mamby-pamby getting walked over organization this past year. And they have been for a couple of years. That's what happens when James Harden pants you and says, hey, trade me to only the Nets. I know, you gave me everything that you wanted. Well, now you're going to give everybody else what they want. And imagine this is Christian Wood asking for the trade too. Couldn't you see that happening? And the Rockets like bending over backwards to make it happen. But look, I think it's good that they flushed this guy down the toilet. But okay, let's think about the good times with Christian Wood. Can we get a little Sarah McLachlan, Sean Mapes behind the glass? I mean, I think this song is always good to send somebody off.
Computer's taking a long time to load.
Okay, gotcha. Want me to sing it myself? I think most people will drive off the roads if they hear me singing again. But I haven't done it to this point in the show. So we're 26 minutes in. Do people want to hear Paul sing or Sarah McLachlan sing? Like it's an ASPCA commercial. We could have it happen. 3, 2, 1. Nice, Sean. You saved the world. Let's think about all the good times with Christian Wood, including the time that he refused to go back into a game in early January. Sean, you were looking some things up about Christian Wood before the show. I hear you have some perhaps fun facts about the former Rocket, now Maverick.
Yes. So, 6-year NBA career. You want to guess how many teams he's played for in 6 years?
I honestly don't know. 4.
He's played for 6.
What? Oh, wait. No, the Rockets, they were going to change him. Okay, what else do we got?
How many seasons do you think he averaged more than, let's just say, 10 games or 10 points per game?
2.
3.
Okay. So
the 2 with the Rockets and then 1 Detroit year where he averaged 13.1.
Ooh, okay, so 3 just garbage teams. Got it, okay.
Yes, he has never made the playoffs. He's never been on a playoff
team. Okay, well, he's now a part of a team that was in the Final Four last year. So, I mean, it's all going to change now. Like, someone who is a garbage time hero, he'll definitely succeed in a playoff situation, no doubt about it. What else we got?
I mean, how many times has he quit in the middle of the season? No, how many times do you think he has been waived in the NBA? Not traded.
Oh, my God.
Just straight up let him walk.
I'm going to guess 3.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And then Detroit basically let him walk. It was a sign and trade in, like, name only. But the Rockets traded Trevor Ariza for him in 2020.
Well, Christian Wood, thanks for the memories. Like, the 19-9, the time you refused to go back into a game, and the fact that despite being waived in so many other locations, you weren't waived here in Houston. Thank you, Christian Wood. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Vanessa's up in Indy. Her eyes are being fixed. It must not be fun to have difficulties with vision. I have been very blessed on that front. She's getting the LASIK surgery. How does that work? Does anyone know? What happens? They put like a laser. They dilate your eyes.
I think they cut it like in, like numb your eyes first.
Okay.
And then they like cut into it so your like cornea
okay.
question mark is expose iris. I don't know. I've said the two I words I know, and then pupil. And then they use lasers to like shave it into a correct shape.
Oh wow! Ugh. I mean, that would just freak me out. The idea that you have to keep your eye open for all of this.
I think they use the little
pliers or whatever to keep your eyelids open.
From the movies, yeah.
It's weird. My dad, who had cancer 20 years ago and beat it, it's been 20 years officially in remission, knock on wood, which is crazy. He's had like some radiation damage to his eyes. So they had to like take like just a big chunk out of his eyeball recently. And he visited me a couple of weeks ago. And like whenever he drinks now, his eyes get bloodshot. Like that one eye gets bloodshot. It's kind of funny to see because he loves him some bone dry martinis. He's like, yeah, I'll have a martini. And it's just vodka. It's basically like 16 ounces of vodka. Who else had eye surgery recently? Oh, one of my friends, like her cornea, just like her retina just detached like on Saturday, which is crazy. Scary stuff. Anyway, everyone mind your eyes. Couple of comments in response to our farewell to Christian Wood. The Rockets, from OG in H-Town, the Rockets got rid of Jack Easterby's favorite player and phrase, Christian Wood. Come on. Okay. It's very sacrilegious. We were just talking about Martin Maldonado's immaculate calling of a perfect, immaculate inning by both Luis Garcia and Phil Maton. Okay. And listen, we are as close to the divine one himself or herself or itself or themself as we ever will be today, okay? Let's not get further away with such disgusting lingo. Cordis says, I think it's awesome that Christian Wood threw out the first pitch in an Astros game like a week ago. Christian Wood got to throw out a first pitch? How low were we going on the totem pole?
I think it was like June like 3rd. It was like literally like 2
okay.
weeks ago.
Listen, the general got to throw out a first pitch. That makes sense to me. He just retired, John McClain. Christian Wood? No. You don't get to throw out a first pitch after you refuse to go back into a game. I'm sorry. You should go to jail for that.
And they let him wear number 35 with Wood on the back instead of Verlander.
Really?
Yeah, there's pictures. I think there's a quote that said, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to having like contract extension talks with the with the Rockets, and then they trade him too.
Boom!
They trade him literally during the finals.
The
season hasn't even ended yet.
They might have seen him throwing out that first pitch, and they're like, "Yeah, oh, so you're fine throwing out a first pitch at an Astros game, but not fine coming into a game against the Denver Nuggets in January." Goodbye. At least he didn't wear 34. He does strike me as having the kind of ego to think, like, yeah, I should be wearing number 34 out there. Hey,
the legacy of Biggs.
Yeah.
Ralph Sampson.
Yeah, Ralph Sampson. Akeem Olajuwon. Yao Ming. You know, Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, Clint Capella.
Yeah. Well, no, don't say
what?
That.
What?
No, come on. We're now.
Carl Landry.
Carl Landry, yeah. You know what? Carl Landry deserves to be in there.
Kelvin Cato.
Would Luis Scola count? No, he's not tall enough. But his hair, if he were to floof his hair up, like if he ever had like Luis Scola just had a flat top, he would have been 6'10", 6'11". Okay, guys, it's that time, the time you are all excited about. 85 days until the start of the NFL season. We haven't gotten tired of this segment yet. Number 85. I mean, come on. There's only one number 85 that we should ever think about. The great Chad Ochocinco, formerly known as Chad Johnson, now known as Chad Johnson again. I've actually talked with Chad Johnson once. This was in a locker room after a Seahawks game. I made eye contact with him. He came up to me and gave me a fist bump, and I never felt cooler. I was like, wait, you're looking at me? Because I was so obsessed with him on Hard Knocks back in the day. And look, Chad Johnson as an actual wide receiver in the NFL, I'm not going to say all-time great, but during his time, definitely one of the more recognizable ones out there, and had himself a damn good career with Cincinnati. Didn't really work out so well for him with the New England Patriots, which was a big disappointment. But I remember him more than anything for his time on Hard Knocks. He is the reason Hard Knocks took off. Chad Johnson on this Bengals season of Hard Knocks, I forget the year, made the show. Why? Because he had amazing sayings like, child, please.
Chad, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco.
Child, please.
Hey, that's one of them like, child, please.
Child, please.
You know what child, please means?
Child, please is a nice way of telling someone, you know, f*** you.
If, so, like, if somebody come to you, if coach come to you and be like, man, did he cover you? You can just look at coach and be like, man, coach, child, please, because you really disrespecting me, right?
Like, I really don't need to explain this to you. But if I say it with some oomph.
Child, please. Child, please.
That's like, man, f*** you too. You feel me? Try it, man. It work.
Okay, I'll try it. Me to the idea of Christian Wood on the Houston Rockets. Child, please. Me to the idea of Kevin Porter Jr. on the Rockets. Child, please. I feel like I just hit the post there. Chad Johnson also is famously known for his disgusting diet, which somehow he is able to keep in extremely good shape, even though he's eating at McDonald's every single day, and I am super jealous.
Eat what you want to eat, and you work out the way you're supposed to. It's not going to bother you.
Let's go to dinner. McDonald's on me.
They always talk about the movie Super Size Me. Man, please. It's a freaking movie. It's not realistic. Child, please, is what that gets.
I love it. That he's able to do that, I love it. But
he's still in good shape.
Right. Do you think he still does that, though?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that he's eating only McDonald's right now.
Oh, not three times a day or anything. But I follow him on the social medias, and he's still, you'll see him with a quarter pounder every once in a while.
It does make me a little jealous. Because I feel guilty whenever I eat fast food, and I feel it in my body, too. And I go to Chick-fil-A a lot. Me and Giannis have a lot in common. You know, like both legendary athletes, champions. You know, I won a flag football championship on an undefeated team, even though I only played in one game. Giannis Antetokounmpo, NBA champion last year. We both like chicken minis. But apparently he just goes there and gets, like, the catering box of chicken minis. The chicken minis are the bomb. You got those little honey biscuits. God, making me hungry right now. So anyway, 85 days until the start of the NFL season. We got a couple of comments on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. KB Holmes 210 says, greatest 85 equals David Tyree. Shut up. You go die. You go die in a fire, sir. How dare you bring up David Tyree? I'm kidding, by the way, about the dying in a fire part, but I would say child please to you for that. So David Tyree went to Syracuse, fun fact, and when the Patriots lost that Super Bowl to the New York Giants, and all of a sudden I discovered that Giants fans existed after that game took place at Syracuse University, when that happened, they brought David Tyree back the next year for the season opener to commemorate him at midfield. So, in front of a really just packed Carrier Dome of 11,000 people, David Tyree's walked out to midfield at the beginning of the game. How do you think Paul Gallant acted in that spot right there?
Did you throw tomatoes at him or
no,
something?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But because, of course, you know, I'm a Syracuse, you know, at that point in time, I was a Syracuse University student. How did I react in that moment? Tomatoes were thrown.
I'm guessing poorly.
Yeah, I booed really badly. I booed. I said, Eli Manning was getting held. Your career is a lie. I was so bitter. Nothing was worse than that. Oh, Paul, but the Patriots have won all those championships. Okay, fine. Imagine going to school at Syracuse University, the coldest place in the United States of America, with more snow than anywhere else, and your second semester of the year, you have this little flimsy Patriots jacket that's basically a windbreaker because you were too stupid to invest in a coat before you went to college, thinking that you would be able to tough it out since you grew up in Boston. And then the entire second semester, when you're wearing that coat to every single class from January through May, and you have every single fan base talking trash to you about being 18-1. Imagine some moron Eagle fan comes up to you, you know, and they barely, you know, most Eagles fans can't read. So they come up to you and they look at you and they say to themselves, hey, remember when the Patriots went 18-1? We just got Asante Samuel from you too. I don't know why Philadelphians have a southern accent right now.
Is he from Varsity Blues?
Yes, I think so. I don't know. Listen, Philadelphians can't read. I can't do accents. It's fine. But that was terrible. So thank you for triggering me and making me waste a bunch of minutes of your time right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can tweet me at Galant Says, 713-780-3776. We do have some NFL topics to dive into over the course of the show, but I have a question for you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. What is your go-to excuse to get out of work? What is your go-to excuse to get out of doing something you don't want to do? Going to school. Because I don't think you're going to be able to top what this NFL player did. That's coming up next. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa's getting her eyes fixed. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
We're in the most active.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No, Vanessa, she is out up in Indianapolis getting some LASIK surgery. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. The question I just asked you at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. What is your go-to excuse for getting out of something? Texan Matt says, blame the kids. Nobody ever questions it, especially if you have a baby, on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. That is a good one. I've brought this up before. I think that you can use family as a shield for pretty much anything. I was thinking about my family. Wait a second. You joined the LIV golf tour, even though it's backed by the Saudis, who also may have been behind 9/11? Yeah, but my family... That's what Dustin Johnson did. Boom. No one's going to ask a follow-up to that. Please respect my decision for my family in this difficult time. I think that's a good one. Another one. This one comes from the 832-713-780-3776. My excuse for not coming to work, I'm getting LASIK. Hey, that's not cool, okay? Vanessa's actually getting LASIK surgery. Come on. Don't say that. That's not cool. 713-780-3776. Sean, do you have a go-to excuse? Or if I have you say this go-to excuse on the air, are you going to feel like you can't say it anymore?
Yeah, that is exactly what I was thinking. I was going to say, I'm the rare position where I cannot broadcast what my excuse would be if I have one. But no, you're right with the family. That was kind of what I was thinking too, of like, oh, you know, family. You know,
it's family, a family emergency.
Yeah. I've definitely... Well, now I hope Ron Culver isn't listening to this. I definitely have stretched out a 4th of July day when, you know, I'm not really taking the day off.
Well, you were sick after the 4th
of
July.
It's not counting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're going out of town. You know, it's a travel day kind of thing where it's not a – I could have been in if I really wanted to. Yes, family.
Sean, I'm too bad at lying to pull this off. I just am. And I've always thought that if I were to call in sick, that someone's going to find out. This is what happens when you're raised Catholic and your mom never lets you take a sick day. The amount of sick days I've taken in my life, very, very few. One I remember in school that I took was because Nancy Kerrigan's cousin and I collided and his front teeth shattered on my forehead. And I have a massive scar on my forehead now. And I was out of school for 2 weeks. Like, that's the only time. And chicken pox. That's it. That's it. Otherwise, your boy's showing up every single day, except for the one time that he moved to Florida and didn't know that Florida didn't recognize Columbus Day. Anti-Italian discrimination like you read about. So you're probably wondering, Paul, why are you bringing up this topic? Like, what is it that is leading to this conversation about taking days off from work and your go-to excuse? It's not Vanessa. Again, stop, texters. That's not nice. It's about this. Myles Garrett. So look, Myles Garrett has shown up for mandatory minicamp for the Cleveland Browns. He's shown up for OTAs for the Cleveland Browns, and we've heard from him a lot, whether saying he doesn't want to be judge, jury, and executioner with Deshaun Watson and judging him, or just talking about how he and Jadeveon Clowney could be the best like 1-2 combination in the NFL. But guess what? Myles Garrett while he might be showing up at minicamp, he is not going on a tour with the rest of his Browns teammates. He's essentially not going to a company meeting, which over time you find company meetings are generally, I don't know, a drag, if you will. Usually they could be taken care of with a mass email, but I digress. Myles Garrett is not going to the Hall of Fame, and he has the best excuse for not going on a tour with his teammates in the NFL Hall of Fame. He has a personal policy about the Hall of Fame. Honestly, I don't want to go to the Hall. I've kept myself from going because I don't want to go until I'm in it. Until I have my face in it, I don't want to go. If we go as a team and Kevin Stefanski says, I want you to go, that's fair play, but I'm not trying to go until they have me in there for good. Well, guess what? They were just going as a team. He says, I'm not going because I'm not going until I'm in it. That is the greatest flex of all time and the best possible way to get yourself out of having to go to work. Seriously, I don't think anyone can top it. Well, I'm going to be in this someday, so I will wait until I'm there. I mean, I love the cockiness.
If they ever try to get us to, the Sports Radio Hall of Fame, if that even exists, that is the line I am dropping. I'm not going to go until I get enshrined into the Sports Radio Hall of Fame, if that exists.
I think that if there is a Sports Radio Hall of Fame, that given that John and Lance have been doing this show for, 20 years, there's a pretty good chance that they would make it in. And I like John and Lance both personally. John and I did a TV show back in the day. Lance has always been awesome to me as well. But am I going to go? No, I'm not going to go until I'm in it because I don't want to drive. It's probably in Waco, let's be honest.
Oh, I was thinking it was like in New York or something.
No, I bet there's like a Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, Texas. Yeah.
Because I think Rich Lord got in it. Yeah,
Texas,
my guy.
Texas Radio. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, I'm not going to go in until I get it because I don't want to drive to, I'm guessing it's in Waco. Is that bad that I'm guessing it's in Waco? Sorry, Waco, but I mean, come on. You know. We know. Don't want to fall into any cults along the way. This excuse for not showing up for work / a congressional hearing that he is the subject of, not quite as good, comes courtesy of Washington Commanders owner, although he's like suspended owner and technically his wife is the owner, Daniel Snyder. So he has an attorney and he is declining to appear at next week's U.S. House Oversight and Reform Committee via his attorney, Karen Patton Seymour, with a 4-page letter. They sent a 4-page letter to explain his reasoning for not showing up. Imagine your doctor writing a 4-page note for you. A doctor's note, 4 pages. I mean, honestly, doctors have such horrible handwriting that maybe, you know, you could do that. And you would be able to read, I don't know, maybe like 5 words along the way. But here are some of the reasons for Snyder's decision not to attend at this Oversight Committee meeting. Snyder has a longstanding commanders-related business conflict. What does that even mean? He's not the owner, technically, of the Commanders anymore. But he has a longstanding commanders-related business conflict. So can I use this one going forward? I took like a half vacation day. There's one show where we were going to have a 30-minute show, and I took the day off. Can I, due to a long-standing ESPN 97.5-related business conflict, take off a day? Do you think so? Other reasons that he is not showing up is because he doesn't want to show up and meet with this committee. Because he doesn't feel like he is going to be allowed to defend himself. And also, this letter that is written downplays the basis for the pending investigation by the committee, pointing out, quote, any alleged misconduct occurred more than a decade in the past. Hey, I don't want to show up for tax evasion, sexual assault, court, period, because it happened 10 years ago. You should have gotten me then. I mean, he's got stones, but guess what? He's also rich, and I mean, what are they going to do? Congress should force him to show up there.
That is a pretty good excuse, though. I won't be allowed to defend myself.
Right.
That's a good one. That's one where you could use in everyday life.
I won't be allowed to defend myself. I can't go outside and cross the street. I won't be allowed to defend myself.
I can't go to that party of the people I hate. I won't be allowed to defend myself.
Right, exactly. Is it open carry? Come on.
Yeah. What? Can I bring nunchucks?
Come on.
I won't be allowed to defend myself.
I need to defend myself. It's nuts. I like Myles Garrett's excuse. Daniel Snyder, work in progress. Think he could do a little bit better on that front. I'm Paul Gallant. Keep them coming, your excuses for getting out of work. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It is Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa up in Indianapolis getting her eyes fixed. The LASIK, ooh. She's going to be looking at us like Homelander when she comes back. I suppose we shall see. Up next, one of the greatest moments in Astros history occurred yesterday. Seriously. This is one of the most historic events that the Astros have ever had. I am being serious. Stop looking at me like that, Sean. You'll find out what it is next.
ESPN 97.5.